Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every week at Real Talk, where we hope curiosity meets truth. Many Vashonians and Pacific Northwest residents started growing their own food during the pandemic. Called Resilience Gardens, they're being nurtured by mostly amateurs. Well, I heard about probiotic plant food a few weeks ago, and I got curious. My guest today, Shareep Kumar, is here from Impact Bioenergy to abate some of my curiosity and help you resilience gardeners out there. Welcome, Shareep.
Hi, Susan. Thank you. So great being back.
So glad to have you here. Yes, you've been with us before. Actually, the Vashon Bioenergy Farm has almost become an institution in the last, is it a year or 2 years?
It's been about a year and a half since we started the install. So,
will you
surely?
Well, tell us about the Vashon Bioenergy Farm, how long it's been around now, a year and a half, and what is it producing?
Sure. So Vashon Bioenergy Farm, our LLC, it's a community scale bioenergy system. It's located right behind Island Spring Organics, the tofu factory that is certified organic here on Vashon Island. And we started the install at the beginning of last year. We were able to do our ribbon cutting last April 19. And basically, just like nature, VBF, which is our acronym for short, Vashon Bioenergy Farm, VBF uses anaerobic digestion to convert food waste, in this case from the tofu factory, into organic plant food and organic renewable natural gas. So those are the two products coming out of the system. And right now the only input to the system coming from the certified organic tofu factory. So it's the soy pulp, which is also known as okara, and liquid whey. So that's basically our bread and butter.
Literally.
Yes, quite literally. So we're excited about this commissioning period. We've been operating for about 12 months now, getting up to scale, you know, working out the tweaks. And we're really happy to be partnering up with a lot of farmers on island, because in the end, this is all about the food system and making it more resilient.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what products you are creating now. You mentioned fertilizer and renewable gas or renewable natural gas. How are those used, and how are local farmers accessing, particularly the fertilizer?
So the liquid probiotic food for plants, and that's PBF for short. So PBF from VBF is our little product here.
The world of acronyms.
Well, what it is in the end is it's a liquid probiotic food for soil and plants, and it is basically available through a milkman delivery service now to growers on island, and at limited points of sale, including some pop-up giveaways that we've been doing with Zero Waste Vashon. And so we do have, our ask is to share data, you know, share feedback on how the growers are liking it, how they're using it, and how they're seeing the results. There's a lot of data out there internationally that's saying that this is a fantastic fertilizer substitute for synthetics and for fossil fuel-derived products, as well as, you know, other exotic things that are kind of become globalized, like bat guano and other types of manures that are shipped in from all around the world, or even locally made compost tea, such as worm casting tea. This is similar properties in the sense that it's a high-nutrient-dense liquid. It's all bioavailable nutrients, and with those nutrients come a lot of microbes that basically diversify the soil health, your microbes in your soil.
So is that what makes it probiotic? Is it the microbes, or the, why isn't it just called basic plant food?
Yes, that is what makes it probiotic. That's right, Susan. It's basically introducing new types of microbes that are beneficial, and what they do is they're beneficial because they convert, in the soil, they convert nutrients. And so not only does the product have available nutrients, bioavailable nutrients, but the microbial populations, they consist of living microbes such as rhizobacteria, and when applied to the soil in an aerobic environment, so with a little bit of air that's within the soil, they basically colonize a rhizosphere, and they promote plant growth, and they promote growth of mycorrhizal fungi, and they increase the supply of available nutrients to the host plant. So in the end, you're recycling in the soil with the microbes.
So one of the tenets of climate, of sort of fighting the climate crisis, is revitalizing the soil in order to increase carbon sequestration. How, if at all, does the notion of using probiotic plant food help that?
We're learning slowly and trying to measure that, but out of Washington State University recently, they're showing studies that that have proved that the soil actually stores three times the amount of carbon that our atmosphere stores. And so the trick is, how do you get the soil to be more alive, really, to be more, have basically a metabolism to uptake that carbon from the atmosphere, store it, sequester it, and use that as beneficial organic matter within the ecosystem of the soil. We're seeing that with applications, not only are you able to sequester the organic matter in the plant food itself, but you're seeing more biomass above ground. So you're actually sequestering more carbon above ground as well, because your plants are getting boost in growth. And so it makes them basically more efficient in terms of photosynthesis too, so they can grow bigger plants and more fruit and hopefully more nutrient-dense fruit. That's a big thing we'd like to get to this summer, just understanding the data out there. Is not only can we sequester carbon and help store it, remove it from the atmosphere by using the product, but the actual produce, we think, is more nutrient-dense.
And, you know, there's been lots of information out there about the fact that mass-produced food, produce specifically, is not as nutrient-dense as it could be because of agribusiness and not biofarming, but because of... Say it again?
It's intensive farming, right?
Yeah, and so... Does Impact Bioenergy have any particular data yet on how food grown with probiotic fertilizer compares to mass-produced food in terms of nutrient density?
Not yet. That's something we'd love to get at this summer, actually. With so many new partners on island that are actually growing the product that... You know, this will be the first season where we could see, you know, the result, the fruit of the labor, if you will, with actual vegetables and cash crops that we can then test for nutrients. So there's a whole boatload of different technologies now that we can tap to show, for example, BRICS levels, which is, BRICS is basically a proxy for sweetness and sugar content, but it also is shown to extend into nutrient, you know, things, produce that tastes sweeter more than most of the time, I'd say, is more nutrient dense. And so through measuring those types of proxies like BRICS and other lab analyses, we can get to the bottom of that hopefully by the end of the summer.
So I understand that you were, throughout the month of June, providing free supplies of probiotic plant food to, I guess, anyone on Vashon who wanted it, or was it specific to farmers? And how are you going to continue that?
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're trying to support the growers, you know, given this dilemma and so many problems we're trying to address at the same time. But in the end, you know, the growers are what they're keeping our communities healthy and happy. And so we see this as a huge opportunity to give back to the community by helping growers boost their yields. A lot of the food is going towards folks who severely need it now. So hopefully we can not only boost the yields, but make healthier food at the same time. And so we've been working with Land Trust, Vashon Land Trust, for as our second year now. So at Matsuda Farm, we've hosted a couple workshops this year and giveaways where folks, whether you're a resiliency gardener or a actual market farmer, both can come to the Matsuda Farm and pick up some product. We do have a feedback form that we're collecting information and we'll follow up towards the end of the season with another round of data collection. But in the end, it's really about just connecting up more. You know, in these crazy times, it's really about interconnectedness more and it's continuous change. There's a lot of co-creation that's coming out of it. So in the end, it's all about the community that we'd like to team up with and co-op.
So if I just have a backyard garden, how much probiotic plant food do I need, or how do we figure that out versus somebody who has an organic farm? I believe most of the farms on Vashon, whether they're certified organic or not, are organic. So how do I know how much of this plant food I need?
Well, a general rule of thumb is that we're recommending a dilution rate of about 4 parts water to 1 part of the liquid. So if you were to say, if you normally use 100 gallons, you substitute 1/5 of that, so about 20 gallons of that would be this type of product for one application. Now, the application frequency, that's something that I think we're inviting a lot of innovation around. We're not quite sure what the optimal application rate is, but if you were to just roughly do, you know, replace 1/5 of your water with this product, that would be one application, and we're recommending at least 3 applications throughout the summer.
Oh, so that's not a whole lot of it. That's not like I use fish poop, and I put it on my vegetable garden about once every 10 days or so. Sounds like that would not be required with the probiotic plant food. Is that correct?
No, but especially during the flowering time, we would recommend ramping up a bit to that type of strength and frequency, a little more basically during the flowering and fruiting part of the season.
So
we'd recommend maybe once a week during that time.
Oh, okay. Okay. So
a little does go a long way. Right.
And that's what I'm not totally clear on. So you're saying I measure the amount of probiotic plant food that I need based on how much water I use. Is there any correlation to the amount of land that I'm trying to fertilize? Like if I'm a farmer and I'm growing 5 acres of whatever, of a variety of vegetables, how would I figure out how much plant food I need? Do I base it on how much water I use?
That would be the best way, basically, basing it on how much water and substituting roughly 1/5 of that. But a lot of farmers, it's difficult to understand exactly how much water you're using. So if that's the case, we would recommend basically doing a trial on a small plot to understand how much your soil actually takes in. We're also in the process of developing best management practices around this, so it's something that we're looking to team up with farmers to learn more about this, to really dial in what that optimal rate could be.
So it sounds like you're kind of using Vashon once again as a laboratory, and we love that. And you're working with Zero Waste Vashon in a collaboration to test the efficacy and the frequency and the impact of probiotic plant food in cooperation with Zero Waste Vashon and our local farmers. So my understanding is that you gave away a lot of this material to farmers and gardeners throughout the month of June, and you are extending the giveaway program. Can you be a little more specific about that, when and where it's happening, and do we have to buy a certain amount of product in order to get something free?
Sure. So, no, you don't have to buy any product. We're looking at our next pop-up event, likely be July 24th. To the Friday, and we would do that at Vashon Bioenergy Farm, so it'd be an open house type of setting where folks can bring their own containers, or we have quite a number of gallon jugs that can be reused, and we do recommend, if you're a bulk user, if you are a farmer, you can bring your own tote and you can fill that up, or we can actually schedule your first milkman delivery at the farm. So it's there are a number of other off schedule type of meetups we can arrange, where it's whether it's potentially with Matsuda Farm, or we've been discussing different sites on island that would might have more traffic. For example, on Maury, maybe there's another opportunity for a pop-up. But between in these pop-up events and just scheduling them, we recommend just emailing our team. And on island, we have a small team now where we're able to schedule out within a couple weeks in advance if you can't make it to an event. So that would be for mainly bulk users. We do have some loaner totes that are available on a first-come, first-served basis. But we could loan a tote and fill you up at the farm. That works.
So how do we email you? What is the email address in order to make an appointment if we want to to get some? Or is it still available through Vashon Fresh?
Yeah, so Vashon Fresh is the dry blend. So as we actually utilize the liquid, there's a way to have a dry, spreadable product. And so the dry blend number 7 is available on Vashon Fresh, and for every unit that's sold through that platform, we're donating at least 10 gallons to growers on island. I think the rate of match to date has been about 50 gallons, so for every unit sold so far, we've donated about 50 gallons to growers, and that's a way for consumers to plug in as well to support local farmers.
So how does, I presume the dry blend is a product of the biodigestion that's happening at the Vashon Bioenergy Farm. How does that dry blend differ from the probiotic plant food liquid, other than one's liquid and one's dry?
That's a great question. The dry blend is about 12% of the dried PBF from the actual Vashon plant. It's blended with a number of other locally sourced renewable products, such as Beta Hatch, which is a company that's also local here. They do a mealworm frass, so they harvest mealworms for chicken feed, and in that process, they are harvesting the mealworm poop as a very high-value fertilizer. So it's we're blending in some of their mealworm frass, as well as some biochar and feather meal and fish meal. So it becomes more of a balanced, guaranteed analysis that is something it's testing out at about 10.5, 7, and 1 in terms of NPK.
And what is NPK?
That's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which are these primary macro and micronutrients that the plants are looking for. And so if you go to a shelf fertilizer product, the point is that this PBF dry blend is a substitute for those types of blends that might be on the shelf, but they are locally produced and sourced.
So you got, you being Impact Bioenergy, are working with the Vashon Bioenergy Farm, and I believe you have worked with Zero Waste Vashon to build the Vashon Bioenergy Farm. And again, you've been working at it for about 18 months. So as an organization, how many of these farms does Impact Bioenergy now work with, and how do you see that working throughout the nation and in its impact on climate crisis?
Well, throughout the region here, currently we have 4 active projects, and the Vashon plant is basically the flagship project. It's the largest and most capable, if you will, digester. We have a upgrading plant that's also installed on Vashon, which takes the biogas and upgrades it into a vehicle fuel. And so what we envision is basically a way to utilize the vehicle fuel within the distribution of this product. So right now, the trucks that we're using, we're looking at converting them over. They do run on diesel or gasoline today, but given this fuel that we're generating, we could convert the trucks over and distribute using this carbon neutral fuel. Actually might be carbon negative, meaning net negative carbon intensity. That's something we're looking at in terms of a life cycle of the carbon footprint. Because it turns out, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, global food waste represents more greenhouse gas emissions than any country in the world, except for China and the United States, of course.
Wow.
So it's mind-boggling how much methane we're actually generating from our food waste. But that's actually a huge opportunity because, you know, that methane is an energy-dense fuel, and we can capture it. So finally, you know, food waste is this hot-button issue, and people want change. If you look across the nation and the world, there are all sorts of commercial organics bans now that ban food waste from the landfill. New York has actually followed suit with Seattle's commercial organics ban. And these public, private, and nonprofit sectors, they're all banding together to be much more intentional about not only reducing food loss and waste, but recovering, you know, the embedded nutrients, energy, water, organic matter, that's all within that. So this really provides a tremendous opportunity for us to regenerate value from the food waste. And you know, we see this is nothing new. It's just been done typically a centralized scale, and we're the first company to try to decentralize it here in North America. So, go ahead.
Help me dispel the myths that I've been living with about food waste. Like, for instance, I believe Seattle is collecting food waste and turning it into compost. And what Impact Bioenergy is talking about doing is collecting food waste and turning it into fuel and fertilizer. How are those two processes different, and how common is what Impact Bioenergy is doing versus what the city of Seattle and others that are collecting food waste doing? Do these two complement one another?
Certainly they do. It's very symbiotic the way that aerobic composting, which is using air, basically, if you have an aerobic compost pile, you turn the pile, you let oxygen through it, and the microbes automatically break down the food organics. over time, but you're basically rejecting the water. You don't want the moisture content all the time. And so this could really play hand in hand with composting, because we want the water, we want the liquid. And so, you know, if there's high moisture food, for example, the okara coming out of the tofu factory, that could be 85% water. And in a compost system, that's demanding a lot of energy because you want to evaporate that water.
Oh.
And with our system, we're basically doing the opposite. We seal off the okara, so we control potential odors that go with that material, because in the end, the odors are what contain the methane that we want to harvest. So once we seal off that the material, we capture the gas, we capture the liquid. The processes are running in parallel, so the liquid is all going through pipes and working with gravity, and the gas is actually being captured off the top, the headspace, and we scrub up the gas and then we upgrade it. And so it could work very harmoniously with composting, and that's super exciting to be on island now during the feasibility study for a compost facility, because this would be one of the first potential anaerobic digester and aerobic compost systems on a decentralized basis. And that's the key, because Vashon, is really setting the bar here in terms of how we can innovate and avoid all the trucking. We don't need to export everything off island.
Yeah. And Sharif Kumar, would you please say a little more about the potential compost facility here on Vashon? We've done a few stories about it, but I'm not sure it's widely known. Can you describe the process that you and Zero Waste Vashon are working to develop?
Well, we're actually not involved much with the compost facility study. Zero Waste Vashon is working closely with King County on that. So King County Department of Natural Resources and Parks, their Solid Waste Division, Recycling Environmental Services, they've been leading the project, and they've contracted, I believe, HDR as the consultant. So they're in the midst of it now. I think they have a couple months left in the study.
So what might happen if we are successful in creating a composting facility working with the Vashon Bioenergy Farm is a continuation of both amending the soil and attracting more carbon to the soil and enriching the products that we grow here, along with reducing the use of trucking transportation. Is that accurate?
That is. That's right.
Good. I love it when it works. You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I am delighted to be talking with Sharif Kumar of Impact Bioenergy, who is working here with the Vashon Bioenergy Farm and a large force in making that successful. We are about out of time, Sharif. I'm shocked. What have we not said that you want people to know?
Sure. So it's actually, my name is Sharif. Sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, I'd say in general, I mean, I'd like to leave folks with, it's an old quote by, I think, Leonardo da Vinci back from the 16th century, where he said something along the lines of, we know less about the soil under our feet than we do about the stars and the movements of the constellations in the sky. And that still rings true today. We don't quite give our soil the attention it deserves. And so 50 years ago, last summer, there was the moonshot. And the moonshot, of course, gets folks onto the moon. And it's a brilliant example of things coming together. And at this point, it's really about an earth shot, I think. You know, bringing it back closer
yes.
to home. And this is a great innovation we can team up on and be much more intentional and resilient together. So we're looking forward to this year more than ever.
Sharup Kumar, thank you for the time you spent with us here on Real Talk and for giving us this hopeful message of how, amid all these other crises, we might be able to save the Earth. Stay tuned.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for the Captain's Chair with Captain Joe Wubble.